to the second edition of your MHS Tech Podcast. My name is Jake.
I'm Matt.
I'm Josh.
And we're coming to you today with the latest in tech news. Matt, you want to start us off today?
Yeah, I got some news on some DLCs and upgrades for some of these games here. First of all, I'm going to start off with Battlefield Hardline. Now, it's a great game. I've played some myself, but there's been some controversial against it being a cops and robbers game, and Battlefield 4 having the you get the Battlefield environment.
So like the military shooter.
Yeah.
The cops and robbers.
Yeah, and that's what Hardline basically is. And people are having, they're not really very happy about that. They want more of an immersed environment. Like, they don't have tanks in Battlefield Hardline like they did in Battlefield 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People want to drive around in a tank and mow people down. So, but what I do like about Battlefield Hardline is that they're working on their servers not crashing. In Battlefield 4, it was terrible.
Yeah.
You get an overcrowded server, it would just shut down.
Yep.
And that's super frustrating if you're a player.
Yeah. Well, and that's something right now. Like, I'm just now getting into Battlefield 4 because I'm super late to the PC gaming party, I guess. So I picked up Battlefield 4 for like $4 or $5 a couple months ago. Started playing it, and now I'm really into it. Well, trying to find a server that doesn't crash and that isn't filled with either hackers or people just trolling, then, you know.
Well, even if it doesn't crash, it's usually shaky.
Yeah.
Like this
yeah.
massive lag.
Yeah. Nope. And there's some, like, more official servers that are out now, so they're a little bit better. But still, at points, it's iffy. So.
Well, even on consoles, we have dedicated servers.
Uh-huh.
And even that sometimes is shaky.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And moving on here, talking about some of the changes they've had in new updates of Hardline, you know, besides the server updates and getting those running smoother, something that's been frustrating a lot of players recently is they're nerfing the drivable couch on the map Dust Bowl. And this was a special vehicle that you could find in a garage, and it was a couch on wheels.
Okay.
And it used to be really overpowered, and people used to hate getting killed by something on the kill cam called Murica.
Okay.
And, well, now that they nerfed it, now there's a bit of an uprising of, why did they nerf Murica?
Okay.
It's just been a really controversial thing. And,
it's an interesting name.
Yeah, I thought so too. Why people would make such an argument about such a vehicle.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. But,
well, even in, like, Call of Duty, if they nerf a gun, people go out and rage on the internet. It's pretty insane.
I suppose because it was such an overpowered vehicle, having four people crowded on a couch riding around at 90 miles an hour, running at people over. I mean,
so if they're on the couch, can they shoot?
Yeah,
they can. Okay.
Yeah, it was just.
And plus, you don't have the windows. You're not limited by the windows. You can just have a full 360 view.
Yep. They would just put two people with light machine guns, throw a medic bay gun in one of the armchairs, and just roll around, mow everything down.
Can you throw ammo boxes on the couch?
Ammo boxes, and they would put C4 on them, too, so when everybody started dying, the driver would just drive into a tank and blow himself up.
It's smart, but, yeah, as a player, your opponent, that becomes almost impossible to...
Well, he's on a couch, it's easy to shoot him.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's going pretty fast.
Yep. And that's one of the things they did is they reduced the health of it, and they reduced the power of it. Because it used to be able to flip a tank sometimes if you hit it just right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not right.
Yeah.
So they definitely fixed it, but that a lot of people who liked enjoying that are really kind of angry right now, but understandably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And moving on here, Black Ops 3, which is totally different first-person shooter, because it's more of arena style. They have a new trailer out, and it is really awesome. They have, like, the Rolling Stones going on in it, and it's such a beast-looking trailer.
There's a lot of, like, secrets in it, too.
Yeah.
You look into it, like, the numbers they show on it.
They're, like, actual locations.
Coordinates, yes, yeah. And then some, like, hidden things within the game.
Yeah.
Like, we found, like, zombies in there, just by numbers.
That's going to be cool, seeing what the zombie story is going to turn out to be.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if they're going to restart that story, because it had an actual story to it. The zombies part did.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about, too, because in Advanced Warfare, they kind of restarted the zombies' story. And a lot of people are really disappointed about that. So, I think they're going to go back to the original Treyarch is going to go back to its original theme when it comes to zombies. When you have the four people, the Japanese dude, the Russian dude, the American guy.
German.
Yeah, the German. I hope they go back to that. That was really fun. You'd have, like, that storyline. You'd feel connected to the characters. In Advanced Warfare, you just felt like, oh, I'm just running around shooting zombies. Well, back in, like, World at War, you felt like there were things you had to do, quests you had to do.
Yeah.
You just kind of had that feeling you were connected with the character. You got to do this. You try and complete all the Easter eggs and all this.
Yeah.
You tried to do the storyline.
If you look up the story online, it goes really deep. It's far. Yeah. It's deeper than the actual in-game story.
Yeah.
Like, it goes from World at War up to Black Ops 2. Like, that span. It's pretty insane.
Treyarch did a fantastic job when it came to their zombie storyline, and I really do hope they continue it in the Black Ops 3.
I think they will. It's Treyarch, you know.
Treyarch is the best when it comes to zombie stuff, I think.
Yeah.
But not saying Advanced Warfare Zombies is bad, but you had that loss of connection.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could just totally be that Advanced Warfare, I mean, it's its own story, you know what I mean? It's its own game, it's its own, you know, even though it's all under that Call of Duty.
It's its own take on zombies.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that Treyarch feel to it.
That and the exosuits involved with the zombies, people, they just like getting a train of zombies and just mowing them down.
Yeah.
Get a light machine gun and just go to town.
See, the only thing that bothered me is the zombies got the suits too.
Yeah.
And that's a little unfair.
Yeah.
Because they can jump as high as you can now.
Oh, okay.
And they can take you down midair.
Oh, jeez.
So.
It's more
like you're fighting soldiers on the field than mowing zombies down in World at War.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
But this time, the zombies don't have, or the people don't have weapons. They're just chasing you.
It's almost lame in a way. It's just, geez, I'm just shooting.
Well, I mean, it could be, like, you know, you were saying they could jump through the air and take you out. You know how sometimes you'll have kind of like your, I don't know what you call it, like your melee, like sort of wars. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if I come at somebody, and then like they catch me partway, then you have to like, you know, tap A or, you know, whatever, in order to overcome that. Maybe that's some sort of functionality that they can build into that to kind of, you know.
Yes, but how can you do that if there's 500 zombies on screen and you're trying to block that one zombie?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was trying to remedy that one zombie that's jumping at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trying to take you out in midair or whatever.
Yeah, like you always get that one annoying zombie that comes up behind you.
Yep.
And you just don't see him. He just whaps you in the back.
Well, now in the DLC they add a zombie in a Goliath suit.
What?
Yeah. So I went to go take him out and he's like, you know, the juggernauts in Modern Warfare 3. They're like that multiplied by 10. And he's chasing you down. He has the power of the suit as well, so he can jump as high as you can.
Okay.
And he feels a little too overpowered.
Yeah.
Just
more human, less zombie.
Yeah.
That aspect.
Yeah. And the randomness of the zombies. Like, they just used to be so random in previous games. Now it's just you expect them to do this and that, and it's, like you said, too much human.
Yep.
Not enough random zombie stuff.
But I also think it's the studio, too, because they're not experienced in that. They're basically starting out new.
That is true. That, you know, Advanced Warfare and Activision, they're just starting on that.
Yeah.
Treyarch, of course, had this huge storyline already started.
Well, Treyarch has been in the field longer, too. This is a new studio starting up.
Mm-hmm.
So
And speaking of Advanced Warfare, they have a new DLC out, which you were discussing.
Yep.
And if I remember right, they have some new weapons coming in, too?
Yes, I think a few, but I'm not sure which ones yet, because I haven't got to use them.
I'd like to see what those would be. Hopefully a new sniper rifle or something. I'm kind of a camper.
I think there's an LMG that can convert into a shotgun, and it's instant. Yeah.
That's
and it's an actual energy weapon. So it can shoot through four walls. I tested it.
Four? So,
yeah.
A little overpowered.
Yeah, I guess, but...
Jeez. Anyways, I also heard on Advanced Warfare, there's going to be a new class of weapons coming out called the Royalty class.
I haven't heard anything about that, but...
Well, you know, in game, when you can unlock these special versions of weapons, they have different perks
like
and
Elite
stuff.
And stuff like that?
Yeah, and you can find, like, the best of the best of the
yep.
bunch. Well, apparently the new best will be this Royalty class. I'm really curious to see what perks, because, you know, each...
Some of them is like a boost in damage,
yeah.
boost in like running speed and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if I'd really like it if it was like a boost damage and like an AK-12 or something, like a boost
yeah.
damage and reduce recoil or something. That would be perfect. I think.
But that would overpower that weapon,
yeah.
and then they'll have to nerf it just like the couch.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just a. Balance you have here.
Yep.
Gotta keep it just right, but...
Or we could just go back to World at War and just fly around the map with rocket launchers and... just have fun there.
Yeah.
So that game's fully hacked.
Fully hacked, indeed it is.
Yep.
A limited flamethrower, I've experienced that.
Right, a limited rocket launcher in the sky, that's pretty fun. Just airstrike.
It's basically full auto.
Yep.
And, anyways, moving on from the first-person shooter stuff here, a game that I personally played an awful lot of is, World of Tanks, World of Warships, World of Warplanes, all those, games made by Wargaming. World of Tanks is going to be out in about a week with a new update. They're going to be adding in, some HD vehicles, so you get some very nice-looking tanks and...
Like the textures are redone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they're very, very nice looking. And World of Warships, they just added American battleships and Japanese aircraft carriers. And
okay.
That is a very fun game. I gotta say, for only being in beta, that is... They're doing a fantastic job in World of Warships. And Gaijin, who are the creators of War Thunder, which is Wargaming's direct competitor...
Okay.
They're going to soon come out with their version of warships of some sort. I cannot wait to see, because World of Tanks and Wargaming and World of Warships, they're more of an arcadey, like you get a health bar.
Okay.
Is this going to be more simulation? Like, it's going to be more realistic? Like, let's say if you shoot the bottom of the boat, it's going to sink. Is it going to be something like
yeah.
that?
Gaijin, I'm moving on here, Gaijin is like that. Like, but they have tanks, too. I mean, they're more focused on aircraft, but their game is more focused on, if you shoot this tank, that tank is going to be either one shot or it's going to be really damaged. World of Tanks, you can get critical damage, like you can get your driver knocked out, but it's a health pool. So you can take, like, 20 or 30 hits in a game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
As long as you have health, you're good. So your tank can just be riddled with holes and it wouldn't matter.
So is it like other games where you can just, for example, drive away and it'll heal? Or is it just you have to pick up health kits? Is it nothing like that? Or
it's nothing like that. It's more of a search and destroy in a way.
Okay. So if you get hit, you're hit. That health is gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
In that game. So it's... But Gaijin, you can repair your tanks. You know, you'll still have some module damage. You can't fully repair yourself to 100%, but if you get your engine knocked out, you can at least repair your engine so you can keep moving. So you can take multiple hits, but after a certain amount of time, you just become immobile.
Okay.
And I think that's a very, very nice difference between the two games. If you get frustrated on one, you just hop in your Tiger tank and War Thunder and one shot Sherman tanks from a mile away. Make you feel better. So it's great that they're competitors. It is such a good...
You need competition, otherwise you won't improve.
Yeah, with these new updates with that Wargaming's kicking out right now, it's all because of Gaijin putting the pressure on. And they're a smaller company, but...
That pressure's still there. There's still competition.
Yeah, that's why...
Even if it's small.
Yep, and that's why they're kicking out with those HD tanks and stuff, because Gaijin, all their tanks are HD. Yeah. Automatically.
Yep.
All their textures, everything, the game looks absolutely beautiful. It looks 10 times better as... like World of Tanks with its arcadey kind of style, but so they're trying to step it up, and I think that is that's really nice.
But okay.
Moving on here.
Well, speaking of games, well, what about resolution here? You know, you see games running 1080p, 60 frames per second on consoles, but is that limiting the game itself? So if let's say for example, to hit a game. Get a game to get hit 1080p 60, mm-hmm. you have to cut stuff out of the game to make it run that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
To, yes, to hit
to cut things out of a game.
To cut, yeah, because well, fans buy the games because it's 1080p.
Mm-hmm.
Will it? Is it worth it to cut content out of your game to put that in there? Because I see that happening now.
Yeah.
New games.
No, I think what the problem is there is. I mean, the textures are a huge problem, you know, when it comes to, like, resolution and stuff.
Yep.
So, if you make your textures more, you know, mid-poly, not instead of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I, so, instead of cutting out content, you lower your textures for your game. That way, you know, that person, the player, still gets the full sort of... I don't know what I'm trying to...
Immersion?
Yeah, into the game as they would like, but...
But would you rather want higher textures and lower resolution? Let's say if we have extremely high textures at 720p or a little bit lower textures at 1080.
I think higher textures at 720p. What's really going to make a difference for people is if it's running at 60 frames or not.
Yeah, frame rate matters.
Frame rate is a huge thing. I mean, so playing Grand Theft Auto 5 on my... Xbox 360, and then seeing it play on YouTube while running it at 60 frames on YouTube,
yep.
Huge difference. You know, I didn't care whether it was a 1080p 60 frames or 720p 60 frames when I was streaming it. I just wanted that 60 frames because that's what's going to give you that silk smooth sort of, which is what's going to rely back on to either your console or your PC.
Yeah, because frame rate always beats resolution.
Yep.
In terms because. No matter how high your resolution is,
mm-hmm.
if you have a low frame rate, your game's gonna suck.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
in World of Tanks, it's really deciding if you can get the first shot off on that enemy tank,
uh-huh.
since it's more arcadey.
Yeah.
Frame rate is huge.
Yeah.
People pay thousands of dollars in processors plugged into these computers.
Yeah.
Just for that first shot off, you gotta
yeah.
have that upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also heard they're doing dynamic resolution.
Okay.
So. It's a new take on resolution, so they have it's between 900p and 1080p. So
okay.
let's say if the game is getting a lot of action on screen and it's having a hard time keeping that frame rate,
it's going to
scale it.
Okay.
So do you think
scale
that's going to be the future here?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I just said I was streaming it on YouTube. That's what YouTube does, you
yep.
know. It pulls your internet connection and it figures out automatically the best resolution to run your video at.
Yep.
You know. So, I mean, that's not reliant so much as to what's going on screen as more of an internet connection. But it's the same sort of idea.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's, with your phones, they'll connect to your strongest Wi-Fi. You know, if it's between two known Wi-Fi connections, it'll connect to the stronger one.
Yep.
You know, just like that. I mean, things are becoming automatic like that. So I think, you know, it's a really good idea. And I think
so
it'll grow.
Do you think they're doing that because these consoles aren't powerful enough? Or are they trying to push them? To keep up with PC, and that's why they're doing this.
That's what I would think, is that they're trying to push them to keep up with PC, because your console, you know, you're paying $400 for it. Essentially, it's a mini computer. I mean, everything inside of it is a computer component.
Yep.
You know, I mean, tell me, what computer can you buy for $400 that's going to run a game, you know, a standard PC game
that good.
At 1080p, yeah. 60 frames, it's going to run it phenomenal. You know, you can't. Yeah. So, I think that's more or less what it is, that they're trying to keep up with PC. Which is kind of funny, because the majority of gamers are on a console.
Yeah.
But the tech in a PC is that much further than console is. You know?
Well, your average console gamer is not like, oh, it's not going to hit 1080p.
Yeah.
They're more like family people.
True.
And they won't see the difference.
Yeah.
Because if you look at an image of 900p and 1080p, like side by side, you can't tell.
Yep.
So what's the point?
True.
That's what they're, I think that's what they're trying to get at.
Yeah.
I can see the point.
All right. Do either of you two have anything to add to that or no?
Other than the Black Ops pre-release date would be November 6th.
Okay.
That's about
right. Sweet. So right around holiday time, like it always is. Right before Black Friday, you know. And then they have all of the other Black Ops games on sale for like $5. And then Black Ops 3 is on sale for like $60.
So do you think, since they're bringing up back Black Ops in a way, do you think they're going to make a collection for 1 and 2?
I don't know. I mean, like, the company itself, like, to make a collection of, like, Black Ops 1, Black Ops 2, Black Ops 3, like, a collection of it.
Yeah. Kind of like
what,
a bundle.
Yeah. What the companies normally do, what I've seen them historically do, is they'll bundle it with stuff, but they'll give you a bunch of extra crap that you're going to pull out of the box, and you're going to go, oh, this is phenomenal, and then you're going to stick it in your closet and go, yep.
It's never going to leave.
You know, and you're going to pay upwards of $100, $120 for it, you know.
Yeah, because I remember when Black Ops 2 came out, I bought the special edition, $150. That's still in my closet.
Yep. So that's, you know, you get your diehard fans like that, and, you know, you put up a collection like that for that amount of money. I mean, the company stands to make more money off of a game that they've already made tons of money off of. Black Ops 1, Black Ops 2, you can't tell me they haven't made a ton of money off of that. But, you know, now they're going to make even more money off of it.
See, like they did with Halo Master Chief Collection. All those games are done.
Yep.
They just retextured them and redid it.
Yep.
And they make $60 off of that? Why not?
Exactly. Well, I mean, a lot of the development costs are already done.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, now it's just updates and upkeep on the game.
Yeah. I have seen, like, Sony, when I first bought my PS3.
Yep.
A couple years back, it came with Uncharted 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we bought Uncharted 4 with the PS3, but they might do something like that. They might collaborate with Sony or something and
maybe
bundle a PS3 or a PS4 with remastered Black Ops 1 and 2, maybe?
Well, that's also a selling point for your console. Would you buy an Xbox with no games, for example, or a PlayStation that's bundled with games that would be around the same price?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're competing. The more games you have in your box, the more value you get.
Yeah. Yeah, it's even nice, like, well, I know for a while they were doing that with Xbox, because Microsoft owned the game, you know, so it was cheap for Microsoft to put the game into the box and go, here you go, here's three new games with your Xbox to play, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, Xbox.
And we're going to add a new skin to your Xbox, and it's going to be Halo, whatever, you know, Halo 4, such and such skin, you know. People are like, oh, this is phenomenal. It's special edition. It comes with all the games. Oh, I want it. You know, and they make more money off the games. You know, they bump up the price for the Xbox for another $100, and then, you know, they make a little bit more money off of it, which, you know, more power to them. Good business move.
Okay. Yeah. So do you think, well, talking about Xbox and PlayStation here, do you think their hardware is good enough in terms of, like, their CPU, GPU, memory, and stuff like that, or are they a little behind?
I like PC gaming. That's where I'm at with that whole, conversation. Like, you know, I've played PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4. I like all of them. They're great. But, you know, and same with Xbox. I've played the original Xbox, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. I like PC gaming, you know, because it's kind of like, goes back, it's kind of like the nerd's version of, like, the classic car, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go out and you buy, like, some ratty, just torn up old Camaro, you know, like, you bought it for $500, and the only reason why you paid $500 was because it had the name Camaro in it, you know. Like, and then you build it, and you make it what you want it to be. You know, you upgrade your parts, you decide you want to change the paint on it. You know, things like that. That's what PC gaming is, to me at least. You know, so the specs, I mean, you can throw a ton of money into your computer and totally upgrade your specs over what a console equivalent of that would be. You know, so yeah, I think that, you know, PC is light years ahead of what console gaming is at. However, PC gamers know what the cost of hardware is and what's reasonable and what's not. Console gamers, like you said earlier, are family people.
Yep.
You know, they want to buy a console and they just want to be done with it.
Or people just want to plug in and play.
Yep, exactly. So then they pay $400, $500 for this mini computer that can only do entertainment sort of tasks, you know.
They don't have the stress of a computer getting a virus or yep. stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's... Yeah, I personally like PC gaming better, but...
What do you think, Matt?
I'm more of a PC guy.
PC?
I do have a console or two, and I like playing my Battlefield games, but... I gotta say, when it comes down to graphics and running at that 60 FPS and making sure you're getting those shots off first, I prefer PC. So, like you said, you can just build it from the ground up, and you know what's in it, you know what's under the hood.
And it's not like a pride thing, too, among, like, PC guys. You know, be like, oh, what graphics card are you running? Like, oh, I'm running 750 Ti, and, oh, that's sweet, I was looking at this graphics card, and, like, oh, I run, like, AMD Radeon, and you're like, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Kind of like a car, same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? So, some people say Hemi, some people say, you know, whatever other engine. I'm not a car guy at all. But you know what I mean? Like, some people prefer certain parts over another, and you get kind of that dynamic when you go to PC gaming. It's kind of cool.
So on the thought of PC, Windows 10 is coming out soon,
mm-hmm.
and they're actually doing cross-play with console and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's
fair? And eventually phones.
And phones too. Do you think that's fair? Because the PC has that frame per second advantage. Because PC, you can modify the resolution, frames per second. Do you think that would be unfair for consoles because they are set?
It's all in the choice of hardware you buy.
Yep.
You know, I mean, your hardcore gamers are going to be your PC gamers, generally.
Yeah.
Generally. You know, so your hardcore people that are going to want to win all the time are going to be your PC gamers. You know, I mean, you get what you pay for. That's what I say all the time. People, well, should I buy this laptop or this laptop? You get what you pay for. If you spend $900 on a computer or $500 versus a console to play games, you get what you pay for. You know, that's it. At least for me, anyways.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Kind of like on Windows 10. I was reading the other day that, because there was talk about, like, Windows pirates were going to be able to get Windows 10 for free.
I like that because then everyone moves the shift. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's not the case. That was like a rumor that was going around, and that's not really the case. Is that Windows says they're going to have something along the lines of like it's going to make them want to get to an actual like genuine
version
of Windows. So my guess is it's going to kind of be like how OS 10 was a couple years ago, how you had to pay like $20 for their OS. $30 for their OS, and then now they just made it free. But you know what I mean? I think that's kind of what Windows is going to switch to. But, you know, we'll see what happens. So, and they've also, for Windows, talked about it going from like your phone is your center for everything. You know, I mean, obviously, yes, that's how it is right now. Your phone literally is like everything.
Yes, but it's well connected that way. It's connected to your PC and your console, so it's all like one ecosystem.
With Windows 10, if you hook up a keyboard and a mouse to your phone, it'll essentially turn into a PC, like right there. You know, your keyboard will go off the screen, it'll go down to the keyboard here, and you'll be running full Windows 10 on your phone. That's essentially what they want to get to with Windows, which I think is really, really smart. You know, I mean, for business people and stuff, that's phenomenal if you're able to sit in an airport and just all of a sudden pull it. You know, a keyboard out of your bag and a mouse, hook it up to your phone, you know, that space that you save in your bag, that's weight that you save on that plane, and that's another device you don't have to worry about. So, pretty cool things that Windows is coming out with.
You know, I also like it when Windows 10 comes out. If you buy an app on PC, it goes on your phone, your console, everything.
Okay.
So it's a universal buying.
And is Windows 10 going to Xbox 360 or just Xbox One?
Xbox One. I don't think the 360.
Okay.
I think they're going to discontinue that.
Okay, yeah.
Because I've heard 2016 they're cutting out Xbox Live for that.
Okay.
So I think they're just trying to push it out the door.
Yeah.
Get rid of it because it's holding the Xbox One back.
Yeah.
Right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I see why they're staying with it. The install base is there. They're mm-hmm. making money, easy money, but they want to push it forward.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Real quick here, I have just a few more things to add from kind of my conversation last week. You know, rumor mill is running rampant with Apple lately. So, right here, today they updated their 15-inch MacBook Pro to the Force Touch trackpad, which isn't a huge upgrade over, you know, past, because, I mean, it just changes the trackpad. Nothing internal is really different. But they did make their 27-inch Retina iMac cheaper, $300 cheaper, which brings, it's a 5K Retina iMac, and it brings the price down to $2,000. So for artists, that's kind of their go-to for, like, a desktop. Mm-hmm. So they're flocking towards it. And it's a beautiful display. I've seen it in person. It looks really great. And lowering that price by $300, it might be able to, some of your college students that are going into graphic design this fall and that sort of thing, it might be really good for them. And they also, on the 15-inch MacBook Pro, you know, just updated some of the internals, you know, that the flash storage is faster and the more power-efficient processor gives an extra hour of battery life, that sort of thing. So, you know, kind of bigger things happening there. If you're in the process of looking for a laptop, you know, if you're a college student going into graphic design or anything like that.
All these little changes, they all build up. Like you said, just that little power saving change gives you a whole extra hour.
Yeah, it's huge.
So
yeah,
it's good they're continuing to keep these updates churning out. Like I said, the competition is a big thing.
Yeah.
And what do you mean by an hour? Web browsing, right? No intense gaming, because that would drain your battery.
Well, generally, yes. Yeah. It's web browsing and standard tasks that you do on your computer. If you're going to do, you know, intense gaming, then you should probably be plugged in.
Yep. To
let's see real quick.
So what Microsoft is doing with Windows 10, do you think Apple is going to try to pick that up now and go that route?
In terms of what?
In terms of everything's connected, universal type thing.
Apple's already done a little bit with that. They call it continuity. So if I get a phone call, it shows up on my Mac, my iPad, my Apple Watch, and my phone.
Okay.
I can answer it anywhere. And I can transfer it off anywhere as well.
Okay.
Same with my web browsing. You know, I'm on Safari on my computer right now. I can transfer that to my phone with that logo right there. If I swipe up and I enter my password, then that will continue the browsing on my phone from my computer. Same thing with my iPad. So they've really done a lot with that. They've made it very obvious that they don't want to do kind of the route that Windows did with, like, a full-on desktop architecture on your phone, you know. I mean, Apple integrated 64-bit into their processor with the 5S, which was a huge thing, and you would be able to do desktop class
applications.
Applications on your phone, no. But they're leaving that more up to the developers and not developing a new OS for their phone. So, that's the route that they've gone with that, kind of how they've remedied that situation. Another quick thing, too, just to kind of add off of what I talked about last week with the Apple TV, you know, more Apple TV rumors just running like crazy. They were talking for a while about Apple, you know, making plans for, like, an Ultra HD TV, kind of, like, a really nice display for your TV is essentially what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And that would integrate a service that they've been lots of rumors been talked about Apple kind of coming out with its own cable service, talking with like Warner Brothers and like Time Warner and Comcast, and with their addition of HBO Now to their Apple TV offerings and that sort of thing, really trying to cut that cable, that literal cable, between your TV and your cable service.
But if you're running it straight off internet, quality will change. It matters on your internet speed there.
True. But generally, I mean, I run Netflix, Hulu, all that sort of thing on my Apple TV as it is right now. And that's running hardware that's 3 years old for the networking, I believe, in an Apple TV. So it's not even running its AC chip for your internet. So, I mean, most people wouldn't even be able to use your AC wireless, you know, capabilities.
No, I mean, for the people that have slow internet in general.
Yeah.
It's gonna take down their TV experience if it's really pixelated.
Well, yeah, then that's not something for you then, you know. Yeah. But for people that live in, well, like, even I live in town here, I get just over 2 megs. I mean, and that's in the small town of Malacca. Down in the cities, your speeds are incredible. So, you know, it's really, that's more for metropolitan sort of areas. Mm-hmm. But, so yeah, it'll be, infrastructure has to update here, out in the boonies. You know, way far out from the cities. Infrastructure needs to update before things like this. And even, you know, Chromecast. You know, if Google starts to try to do something like that for their own Chromecast sort of things, or even Fire TV, you know, that little bit that happened for a little while, that infrastructure with your internet company needs to happen before you can really start taking on the full capabilities of those internet-connected devices.
So what happens if Apple TV basically takes over? What's cable going to do? Are they just going to give up?
Well, no. Your cable service will still work with Apple. So, like, your CBS, ABC, Fox, whatever, goes to Comcast, your cable service, or whoever.
Okay.
And says, here's our channels. This is what you have to pay us. Then Comcast goes, okay, Apple, here's your deal. You need to charge your customers a little bit more money, and then you'll have full Comcast service, which includes ABC, CBS, Fox, blah, 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 blah.
So it's basically adding on to the plan you have if you have cable.
Yes, or replacing it.
Or replacing it,
depending on, you know, generally that would be replacing it, because then you would have it on your phone, you'd have it on your Mac, or your PC, your iPad, your tablet, wherever. Your DVR would no longer be a necessity, because all of your TV would just be, like, on demand, essentially, which would be crazy. And it would do away. TiVo would have an issue with it. TiVo. But
it'll be nice because they could say, hey, Siri, can I watch? And then say the name of your movie or TV show and it's up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So yeah.
Do you think that'll cause copyright issues then? Because if your TV show is online, can you just get them out to everyone for free?
No, it's just like Netflix right now.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Netflix allows two users to stream at the same time, or if you pay a little bit more per month, you can run 4 users at a time streaming off your account.
Okay.
You know, so it's just like that. It would just be like Netflix and Hulu. You know, I can't physically download it from Hulu or Netflix.
Yep, because they're locked behind their own pay. Whatever.
So yeah.
That'd be kind of nice.
Do you guys have anything to add? I think we're running low on time here.
I read last night that there's been adding on to it, the last podcast, Ark Survival Evolved, they've had some updates. Now they're adding in firearms into it. So now it is really starting to feel like Rust.
Yeah, okay.
A lot like Rust.
Yeah.
Very similar. But hopefully it'll change up. I mean, there is dinosaurs in it. It's always great running around with a T-Rex with a shotgun in one hand. But
oh, yeah.
Well, I have a shotgun when you have your teeth.
We aren't T-Rex, Josh.
Oh, yeah, but.
Well, on that note, I think we'll close off this podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great day.